Tonight is Wednesday night, January 3rd. This is the women's Gemara share, Mishnah share. We're up to the 8th Perek of Maseches Chulin, Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis.
Okay, Rabotai. If you take a look at the first sheet, which is the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, begins a new topic. Again, issues of basar and chalav. Let's see how the Mishnah proceeds. Tzorer adam basar ugvina bimitpachat achat. You're allowed, if you're transporting a piece of meat and some cheese, you're allowed to wrap it in the same paper towel, as long as they're not touching one another. So you're allowed to go ahead, lechatchila, take a piece of meat and anything, wax paper, paper towel, anything, meat and cheese together, as long as they are not touching one another. That's the first halacha that is stated in the Mishnah.
What's the word
so rare? So it literally means to bind, to put them together in a bag. It's to wrap it. Yeah. Like we say when you make a kelmala, shetehei nishmatas tsrura, bound bitzror hachayim.
Yeah.
What?
I have heard that word, you're right.
Yes. That's the first halacha. Rabban, that doesn't have a whole lot of practical application. Most of us would be a little reluctant to take the same paper towel and have a piece of steak and a piece of American cheese wrapped up in the same paper towel. It doesn't happen very frequently. But the second half of the halacha happens quite frequently. Yeah.
I assume they're not open. If they can't be touching each other, then they have to be.
They're both open. They have a piece of meat and a piece of cheese, and you wrap them up in the same paper towel, but one's on one end of the paper towel, the other's the other end of the paper towel, and now you carry it this way in your pocketbook.
Okay.
Says the Mishnah, it's okay. It's okay. What? So again, we would not. It's not something that happens very frequently. I grant you that.
But in Black Express, they're so mafia, they don't put your chicken and your cheese in the same place.
I know. Black Express didn't come to the shear. A lot of things that people do are well above and beyond that which the halacha demand. However, the second part of the Mishnah is very practical, especially when you have spoiled brat kids who only eat mac and cheese every night. I don't care what you're serving, Mom. I want mac and cheese. So we all know kids or grandchildren who do that. So you're serving chicken, and they want mac and cheese, and they want to sit at the table. So this particular Mishnah will give us the guidelines of people eating at the same table, dairy and meat, at the same dinner table. Says Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Shnei achsanoin, two people in a hotel, at an inn, ochlin al shulchan echad, are permitted to go ahead and eat on one table, ze basar vze givina. One person is eating meat, the other one is eating cheese, v'ein choshishin, and there is nothing to worry about. That's all Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said. Obviously, the Gemara is going to elaborate, and that elaboration will have plenty of discussion. So let's see how the Gemara attacks the Mishnah. Asks the Gemara, the Mishnah had cautioned us that if you're going to transport meat and dairy and in the same paper towel or the same paper bag, you have to make sure that they don't touch one another. So what question would you ask based on information that we have mentioned 50 times? Yeah.
It's not okay.
Good. Assume it's cold.
Why can't they touch?
Good. So who cares? Exactly. That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara knows that you know that If it's cold, there's no transfer of taste. Asks the Gemara. V'chi nogeya zeh bozeh, my heavy. What could possibly go wrong if they are both cold? Tsonan bitsonan hu. It is considered, it's cold, touching cold. And as we have said 200,000 times, and we'll say it another 300,000 times, in the absence of heat, there is no transference of taste, even if they touch each other. Answers the Gemara.
Why is the Gemara assuming then that this is cold and cold? I
mean, because when you're transporting things, you don't usually take hot things. You usually take things that are cold, usually. If it was hot, the Gemara knows the answer, but it can't. Then the Mishnah would never allow taking hot and hot, or one hot. The Mishnah will not allow that. We know that. Because if they touch each other, the taste will transfer into one, and you'll never notice it.
Either way, they're either
food. Correct. So the question is, why, if I'm allowing it, I assume that it's cold, who cares if they happen to touch each other once upon a time? What does it bother me?
Later you may warm them up, and one part will be on another one.
No, you're not going to. No, we're not worried that you're going to warm them up together.
No,
that,
but late, like let's say I'm getting something from Blatt Express, and it's open, and there's something, and then later I open it up, the dairy may have gotten on the pull-up.
Okay, so that's what the Gemara's going to answer. That although there may not be any, the Gemara's going to answer that. Answers the Gemara. Amar Abaye, Nehi deklipa lobai. I will acknowledge that you don't need klipa. Klipa, we have not discussed frequently. Kolef, klipa, means to shave off the outermost trim of the meat or the cheese that may have come in contact with its opposite. There are times when we believe that the transfer of taste will not spread into the entire item, but will be limited to what? To the surface area. It will have just entered the surface area. So how do you take care of that? You take a knife and you cut the outermost level and you throw it in the garbage can. And then the rest of the meat can be used, can be, or the rest of the cheese can be eaten. So the Gemara says, I agree with you that if what? If they touch each other and they are both cold, you do not need klipa to cut off a thin layer of cheese or a thin layer of meat. You don't. However, hadacha mi lo ba'i. Hadacha mi lo ba'i? Question mark. Mazela hadiyah. We've had that before. Hadacha means to wash it off. Exactly. You mean to tell me if a piece of meat touches a piece of cheese, you don't have to wash off the meat or the cheese? Of course you do. What are we afraid of? What are you afraid of? Not absorption, but a little, exactly, residue meat will now be on that piece of cheese. You won't notice it. Or some piece of cheese, a little flake of cheese will be on the meat. And then you put it in the oven, and then you have a problem. So even though touching will not generate an obligation for you to be kolef, you don't have to slice each one off, but we should at least expect you to do what? To wash it. So what is the only way in which you will guarantee that you don't have to wash it? What does the Mishnah tell us? Be careful that they shouldn't be touching one another. So you can wrap them up in the same paper towel, but you should be careful that they should not touch. If they do touch, indeed, you require hadacha, you must wash it off. That's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara says. Yeah. Now, this segment of Mishnah and Gemara that we learned, this segment of the Mishnah and the Gemara, Rashi doesn't open up his mouth neither about the Mishnah nor the line of Gemara that we just read. So apparently Rashi thought, if he said nothing, is that there are zero issues above and beyond the simple text, which he expects you to understand if you know simple Aramaic or Hebrew. He expects you to know that. Because Rashi doesn't comment all the time. Rashi only comments in the Gemara if he thinks there will be difficulty understanding the Pshat. That's not the case of Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Chumash only reacts if there is a problem in the text, if there's some issue in the text. In the Gemara, Rashi does not wait until there may be a problem with the text. If it's a difficult concept, then under those circumstances, Rashi will pipe up and say something. Because as I've told you before, Rashi wrote his commentary for his workers in the wine factory. And so he understood that a commoner who was trying to understand the Talmud may not be able to understand this particular line. Therefore, I, Rashi, will explain it to you. But if Rashi says nothing, he thinks everybody with any background whatsoever should be able to understand it. However, not all Rishonim felt the same way. Page 2, please, which is the Rashba. The Rashba, Sephardic scholar, number one Talmud of the Ramban. The Ramban spawned a whole school of Rishonim. The Ran and the Ramban and Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ritva, the Rashba, all came from the school of the Ramban. Says the Rashba, V'chinogin zebozeh, he's just quoting the Gemara, my heavy. Tzonon v'tzonon hu. It's cold and cold. Who cares? Answers the Gemara. Nehi deklipa lo boi. I acknowledge that if they did touch, you don't have to scrape off a thin layer of cheese or a thin layer of meat. Hadacha mi lo boi. V'hilkach, adds the Rashba. L'chatchila lo yehu nogim zeh et zeh. L'chatchila, when you transport meat and cheese in the same bag, you should make an effort to make sure that they don't touch each other. Shema yavo le'echol kodem hadacha. Perhaps you're going to forget to wash it. You're going to put it in your pot or in your oven, and then you're going to wake up and there's going to be a problem. V'kosav harav bal ha'iturzal. The Rashba is quoting another Rishon who is known as the Bal Ha'itur. V'kosav harav bal ha'iturzal. D'dafka basar mevushal. You know when our Mishnah is giving us the guideline to make sure that they don't touch one another? That's only by previously cooked meat. Because once you have previously cooked the meat, would you necessarily wash it before you eat it, if it's already fully cooked? No. Dilav urche bahadacha. It is not customary to engage in washing meat that has already been what? Been cooked. V'asi lemechal minei. Below hadacha, you will come to eat this piece of meat which has already been cooked without washing it off. All you'll do is perhaps warm it up already. You'll take it straight out of the bag and just put it in the oven to warm up, but you're not going to think of washing it. Avo. So what would he say? Why does he say that the Mishnah's rule is only by cooked meat? What would be the status of transporting raw meat from Glad Express or whatever the other places where you go shopping, see the market, wherever it is? Well, me, you don't have to worry about it. Why? Because you're always going to wash it. So who cares if they touch? I don't care. Because it's always, the real people always will wash the meat before they eat it. Now, tell me why this sounds like a little chiddush. So he's saying, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. And you could go ahead and have them touch each other in the bag. Tell me why you might be a little surprised. You were not surprised the way I explained it, because I tried to fool you. Tell me why you might be concerned about what the Balaita just said. Yeah?
Would you wash your cheese?
Ah! Oh, yeah, I understand that you wash your meat, even though I have never, ever handled a piece of raw meat. I don't know what you do, but I see people washing it. I see people washing it. But I never saw anybody come home with a piece of cheese and wash the piece of cheese. So what happens if I'm making grilled cheese? So I take my American cheese and there might be a sliver of meat on it. Why wouldn't I have to wash the meat off and wash and take something to rub the cheese off? Why would I not? Just because the meat is typically washed? Yeah, but you don't typically wash the cheese. I don't know. But that's what he said. And now continue at the end of line 2. Avol mi she'ein darko le'achlo below hadacha. But anybody who has raw meat and his practice is not to eat meat without washing, afilu nogin ze'ezeh, even if they touch one another, so rare, you can put it in the bag together. Ve'eino nimna. Maze nimna? You don't have to hesitate. Exactly, you don't have to hesitate. Nothing to be concerned about. As long as the typical practice is, and is still today, to wash a piece of meat. You probably wash a chicken off. If you buy a fresh chicken, people probably rinse it off, whatever it is. Yeah. V'chein kasav hara'avatzal. And so too did the Ravid say this. The Rashba often quotes the Ravid, and it's very good for us that the Rashba quotes the Ravid very frequently, because we don't have a lot of writings that have remained from the Ravid. We don't have, you know, volumes and volumes of Perush HaRavid on Shas. He's quoted a lot. The only thing which we have one or two books, but not all over Shas. What we have left of the Ravid is his remarks on the Rambam, his halachic critique, his gloss of the Rambam, where he argues with the Rambam very vociferously and calls him all kinds of names and insults him and so on and so forth. But so it's very fortunate for us that the Rashba has transmitted for us a lot of the Torah of the Ravid. What did he say? Shekol midi debar hadacha, anything that is typically what? Washed. Kigom. Lasim dagim shelo hudchu. O basar shelo nitbashel. Velo hudach. Bekli shenishtamesh bo beisur, afilu lechatchila mutar. Because anything where the practice is to do what? To wash. I don't care that you carried them together, you touched them together. There's nothing to worry about. Because I know that you will wash it. Now, why does he say something about fish? What does fish have to do with this? Tell me why fish has to do with this.
Fish and milk.
It depends. And Ashkenazim?
Fish and meat.
Fish and meat.
Right.
So he's covering both minhagim. We Ashkenazim do not eat meat and fish together. It's a pure superstition quoted in Shulchan Aruch, as there are many superstitions that are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Rama quotes it, and it's our practice to have separate forks. Everybody knows that. You never serve together. There are certain salad dressings that had anchovies in it, and the OU puts out a notice, do not serve that at a meat meal. If it has fish in it, fine. Sfardim eat fish and meat, but they have their little shtick about not eating cheese and milk. Not fish and cheese. They don't eat fish and cheese. They eat fish and meat, but they don't eat fish and cheese. So Sfardim will never have cream cheese and lox. Never. One of the great great breakfasts that we can enjoy. And Sfardim, my son-in-law, only looks at us with jealousy for not eating, for eating bagels and lox. What?
Tafuti cream cheese.
Right, tafuti cream cheese. So he's covering himself in both ways. And by virtue of the fact that the Dagim concern is only a superstition, Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva. I think I once told it to you. People once, and it happened when he was in Muncie for Sukkos, he used to go to Rabbi Tendler for Sukkos all the time. So somebody comes running over on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, that she made a cholent for Shabbos Chol HaMoed, went to her freezer right before Shabbos, and took out a roll which she thought was kishka, and it was gefilte fish. And she put it into the cholent. Next morning she opens up the roll. Oh my God. So they asked Rav Moshe if you're allowed to eat the cholent. Rav Moshe said you are.
It was wrapped separately.
Okay. But if it would be tarfus, Rav Moshe wouldn't allow it. But what did he say? He said it's bad enough that we don't eat meat and fish together when, you know, when it's really together. It's bad enough that we don't eat that because the Shulchan Aruch tells us not to. We're not going to be machmir just on potential transfer of taste. And the only thing you could have worried about is that some of the taste leaked through the silver foil, whatever it was. And when, so we're not going to be machmir on that. Because it's only a superstition, but I'm not telling you to ignore it. Klal Yisrael has superstitions, there are tons of them, and we... You may have noticed that at Bar Mitzvah, we never give a father and a son an aliyah one after the other, only because of superstition, that there are going to be demons hovering over the Sefer Torah who will attack two members of the family who get consecutive aliyah. Two brothers don't get two aliyah. A father and a son can't have Hagbah and Galila, nor two brothers can have Hagbah and Galila. We have many things that we know the origin is pure superstition, yet they're recorded in Shulchan Aruch. Says the Ravid, Shekol midi de baradacha, kegon lasim dagim shelo hutchu, o basa shelo nizbashel, velo hudach, bekli shenish bamo bo beisur, afilu lechatchilo mutter. If you place this fish or the meat in a pot that you just cooked treifos in it, says the Ravid, it's no problem whatsoever. Why? Because what will you do with the fish and the meat, which is raw? What are you going to do with it? You're going to wash it before. So anything that might have remained in that pot from the tray for cooking is going to be washed off. Obviously, there was no heat yet. Sha'afilu tim tzolomar, sheyochal be'umtza ho'idna, sheyochal be'umtza, even if you might be afraid that, you know what, some people ate meat and fish raw. Raw. So if you're going to eat, now he's going to say nobody does that in my time. He's going to say that in 2 seconds. That if you would have eaten it raw, so then you might say, you know what, I'm not going to let you put a piece of meat in a tray for pot that I used for tray for stuff. I'm not going to let you put fish in a pot that I used tray for stuff. Why? Because if you plan on eating something raw, what might you not do? You might not feel the necessity to wash it off first. Since the Ravid, I'm not worried about that. Why? The ha'idna lemechal be'umtza lo shchiach. Today, in my day, said the Ravid, people don't eat raw meat and raw fish. They don't do it because they know it's not healthy to eat raw meat and raw fish. V'chein kol kli shedarko shel adam lehadicho kodem shiyamish. Any pot which people will wash off before you start cooking. Anybody do that? You take out a pot from your closet. Will you just rinse it out before you put anything in it? So, what? Sometimes. Yeah. Okay. So the Ravid said he knows about that. His mother probably did it. So then, ein nimna'im milihishtamesh bo be'isur tzonan. So now, you have no hesitancy to put a piece of treifa meat into this pot before you start cooking in it. Why? You'll take it out, and what are you certainly going to do with the pot? Certainly going to wash it. So you can put something treif in it, no problem. V'achakein yadichenu v'yishtamish bo heter v'ein choshishin b'pshia b'kach. And I'm not worried that somebody's going to deliberately cook in it after he put the treif of meat in it and forget to wash it out in advance. I am not afraid of that at all. Not afraid of it. And so therefore the Ravid also, he extended it not only to carrying meat and cheese in this paper bag or this paper towel, but even to put it into a pot or a plate. As long as you definitely wash it off. The custom is to wash the meat, to wash the fish, or to wash the pot. Under those circumstances, there is no hesitancy whatsoever to engage in this. Again, I don't think we do this. I don't think any of us would take our kosher pots and put something treif in it because, hey, before I use it to cook, what am I going to do? Wash it out. I don't think we would go ahead and wash and take raw meat and have it touching cheese deliberately, knowing that I'm going to wash the piece of meat off in advance. I don't think we would do that. But anyhow, that's what the Mishnah says, and that's what the Rashba, that's how the Rashba comments. So, as I said, this first halacha does not have terrible practical application. Yes, but the second halacha does. Yes.
I noticed for the Broad Express.
Yes.
Package the meat separately from the parv or the milkic in two different bags.
Yeah, what do you mean in two different bags?
They never put
When you're shopping, they won't pack your groceries.
Are you serious?
They never did for years.
Wow, I never noticed that.
Is it okay if I put this in?
I never noticed that. Wow. Very nice. Does any of the other places do that?
Cedar Market
also? They will pack separately.
Always.
Oh, really?
The raw chicken could
leak out. Wow. That's good. Very nice. I didn't know that. What?
I thought every kosher place does that.
Well, Pathmark certainly doesn't do that.
That's not a kosher place.
Right. Right. Okay. Does the other place, the Grand in Essex, do they do that also? You should, probably. Right. Okay. I never noticed that. Okay. I'll look for it next time I go shopping.
See when.
I'll test it out, yeah. I'll start packing it myself. And they'll say, no. Okay? Now, we go back to the Gemara, back to the page 1, and we analyze Rab Shimon ben Gamliel's statement, second half of the Mishnah. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel made a broad, sweeping statement that two guests at a hotel, one can order meat, the other one can order dairy, and they can sit at the exact same table, no problem whatsoever.
No separate tablecloth.
Did he say anything in the Mishnah about it?
That's
no.
What we do.
Yeah, hold on. That's why we're going to learn the Gemara.
Doesn't it have to impact whether they know each other or not?
Oh, that's what the Gemara is going to say. Good. Excellent. Says the Gemara. That's why, if you only learn Mishnayos, you'll know the topic, but you could be learning something that is against the halacha. Because the Mishnah is so terse and so brief, it just says, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, it's okay. You'll never know the Gemara's comment that what? That it's only if they don't know each other. Right? That's what the Gemara's going to say in 2 seconds. Amar Rav Chanan, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Shnei Achsonim, v'chulei. Amar Rav Chanan, Bar Ami, Amar Shmuel. Lo Shanu, Ela She'ein Makirin Ze'et Ze'. So Debbie preceded Shmuel. When do I allow two guests in a hotel to eat at the same table, one dairy, one meat? As if they don't know each other. Avol makirin ze otzer asur. If they what? If they know each other, they can't. What do you think the Gemara is afraid of?
They'll share.
Oh, I have something here really good. You want to taste it? And he'll forget. So that's comment number one. Only if they are ein makir, only if ein makirin ze etzer. Makirin ze etzer asur. So now the Gemara is going to quote a brighter to supplement Rab Shimon Gamliel's opinion. Tanya Nami Hachi. We have learned a brighter that used the exact same comment that Shmuel did. So then, what great chidush did Shmuel offer, who is an Amoraic sage, what great chidush did he offer? If the brighter already says what Shmuel says, and this happens all the time. The answer is, Amoraic scholars were not responsible for knowing all of the Braitot. All of the Braitot were formulated during the Mishnaic period. That's from year 1 to 200. There were dozens of varieties of Mishnayos. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi only selected some Mishnayos to be included in the Mishnah. There are other versions which are called Tosefta, Braitot. In the back of a Gemara, of every Gemara, there is a list of, there's a one edition of the Tosefta. One edition of the Tosefta is printed in the back of our Gemara. It's not the most accurate edition of the Tosefta. The most accurate, scientifically reliable edition of the Tosefta was edited by Shaul Lieberman from the Jewish Theological Seminary. He has a monumental work. Chaim Salvechik, the Rav's son, said he was one of the Ge'oinei Hador, one of the Gedolei Hador. Guy knew Shas backwards and forwards. And he spent a lifetime, it's 10 volumes, Tosefta Kepshuta, putting together the right text. And if you look at our Toseftas, the Vilna Gaon has it changes the text 60,000. He has a text that it makes a lot of sense. So anyhow, Amoraim were only held responsible to know the Mishnah. So when they offered a comment, and then the Gemara says, they said it 50 years before you were born, don't be surprised, it happens very frequently, because they weren't held responsible. So they thought they were being mechadish something. What did Shmuel think he was mechadish? That they didn't know each other. That's when we learn. The Braita is going to say the same thing. Tanya Nami Hachi, we learned the Braisa establishing this fact. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Bet Achsinaim, two guests, Shinit Archu Bepundik Echad, Zeh Bar Minat Safon, this guy's coming from North America. Vezeh Bar Minat Darom, this guy's coming from South America. And they meet in a hotel in New York City. This guy comes with what? A slice of meat. This guy's coming with a brick of cheese. And there's nothing to worry about. So the Braita is operating on the probability. That is, if this guy is from the north, and this guy's from the south, in all probability, they don't know each other. Because it's not like today where you can know anybody in the world, visit them, talk to them, email them. That time, somebody lived in the northern part of Israel. He didn't know anybody in the southern part of Israel. Fine. Velo asru ella bitfisa achas. And they prohibited it only in what? In one something. B'tfisa achas. I'm not translating it literally because I don't have a good literal translation. Asks the Gemara, T'fisa achas salkadaitach? You really mean together? What does that mean? Ela ke'ein tfisa achas. Ke'ein tfisa achas. This is a very broad, general statement, and I'm going to tell you how some Rishonim understand this. The Gemara said, lo osru ella b'tfisa achas. The word tfisa is an unusual word. Literally means litfos, to grab. Good. So it means with one grabbing. So Tosfot says that the word comes from the following usage. Following usage. If a parent dies and there are two brothers who have not yet settled the estate. So there is a common estate which they agree they both can use until they decide to split it. So when they decide to split it, it's no longer a common estate. This belongs to A, that belongs to B. So Tosfos says, when does the Mishnah prohibit something? B'tfisa achas. What does that mean? Where the food being used by these two people come from the same source. It comes from the inherited, let's say the inherited estate of the parents, and now they sit down as brothers, and because they have not yet divided it, what is the typical attitude of one brother towards the next? If they have not formally divided, how do they look at that which I'm taking versus what my brother... How does my brother look at what I'm taking? How do I look at what my brother takes? No. Both of us have the right to take it. Because we haven't divided up the estate. So when we both... What? When we both feel that we have a right to take it, then the Mishnah prohibits us sitting at the same table. Because what's going to happen? I have a right to take a cheese kreplach, and you have a right to take a piece of my pastrami sandwich, because we have not yet divided up the estate. But if it's not b'tfisa achas, if it's not food inherited commonly from the estate, but rather what? We've divided up the estate. Under those circumstances, I have no concern whatsoever that my brother's going to put his hand onto my plate and take out my pastrami. My brother has nothing to worry about that I'm going to be putting my hand into his plate and taking out a cheese kreplach. Why? Because I'd be violating the laws of theft. Theft.
We weren't saying taking, we were saying offering.
Okay. This braita is not agreeing necessarily with the Mishnah. This braita seems to say something well above and beyond the way we explained it in the Mishnah. The way we explained it in the Mishnah was that the only time that you have a prohibited situation is if the two people know each other. Well, certainly two brothers who may have even divided the estate, they certainly know each other and they might offer. This braita does not conform with that according to Tosafot. Because the only time the braita comments, when are these two brothers not permitted to do so? When does the braita? B'tfisa achas. Tosfos is struggling to find out what is the word tfisa. So the common inheritance of an estate is called tfusat habayit. It's called, that's the name designated as the common estate that has yet to be divided up by the lawyers. Or by the two inheritors. That's what the Gemara calls a common estate. Tfusat habayit. So the Gemara deals with quite a number of issues in a tfusat habayit. For example, let's assume my father had purchased two etrogim. He purchased two etrogim. He wanted to have a backup in case the pitam fell off. Whatever it is, he purchased two. And now he passes away, Erev Sukkos. So the two children inherit the estate, and they didn't buy any lulav and etrog get. So they say to one another, what do I have to buy? What happens? There are two in the estate. The halacha is, they cannot be yotzei the mitzvah. Because until they divide up the estate, neither of them own it completely. And the halacha is, for the first day of Yontiv, you have to have absolute ownership. Or the tachtem lochem. It must be absolute ownership. So Tosfot has plenty of examples of what it means, tfusa. Tosfos suspects that the word tfusat, habayit, is what the Gemara here means, tfisa achas. Tfisa achas. That's what Tosfos says. Tosfos says. So the Gemara asks, Salkin, you mean to tell me only if it comes for what? From what? From one estate? Tfisa achas salkedaitach? You mean to tell me the Mishnah's case is limited only to what? When two brothers are sitting here and that they are eating shared estate food? No. Answers the Gemara, Ke'ein tfisa achas. Maza ke'ein? It looks like. In other words, that what? That if you have people who know each other, they might treat their two meals, one dairy, one meat, how will they treat it if they know each other and their friends? As if it's a common meal. As if it were two brothers who did what? Who inherited the estate in which there is no reluctance whatsoever from each brother, from each person to do what? To share from one another. Why? Because they know each other. So the Gemara says it doesn't really mean tfisa achas, but it has a feature similar to tfisa achas. Ke'ein tfisa achas. It looks like they are sharing a shared inheritance, and that's how the Braisa now jives with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah. Now, take a look at Tosfot. The first line of Tosis tells me everything I need to know. Look at the Tosfot. I bracketed Ke'ein Tfisa Achas. Im Yesh Davar Mafsik Lo Heve Ke'ein Tfisa Achas. Correct. If you put... so now, what does that mean? If there is something, so either a divider, something that is placed as a divider between the two people, then it's no longer considered as if it's one common group. So there are several manifestations of that. One is that if they eat on separate tablecloths, by definition, is considered a heker. A reminder, he's eating dairy, I'm eating meat. Others say, no, you have to put something to serve as what? As a separator. Now there are some Rishonim who say that putting something which you expect on that table can't be a separator. For example, the salt shaker, the napkin holder, that can't be a separator. Why? Because you expect it. It's too common. The salt can be used for what? For dairy. The salt can be used for what? For meat. The handkerchief, the napkin holder, can be used, will be used by the dairy guy. The napkin will be... So you have to use something that was not expected. So if you have one guy eating meat, and right next to him eating dairy, you put a box of cereal in the middle. Box of cereal, nobody's eating a box of cereal with kreplach. Nobody's eating a box of cereal with a roast beef sandwich. So it has to be something that you would not have anticipated be placed on the table to create the heker. To create the heker. But Tosfos says that in... that our practices, that we put either a utensil or we eat al mapa acheret, separate tablecloths. So then, even if the two people know each other, they're brothers, and it's no matter what, I don't have to worry. Because if there is a separate tablecloth, you will know fully well that this guy is not eating what I'm eating, and we have to avoid sharing with one another. That's the practice that many of us are accustomed to. However, let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. The tour, first the tour, and then the Bach, and then the Shulchan Aruch. Page 3. So, in this Siman, the tour writes, in Siman Peichet, the tour is the forerunner to the Shulchan Aruch. The tour was written by Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Asher, the son of the Rush. The Rush is Rabbeinu Asher. His son was called Rabbi Yaakov Bal HaTurim. If you look in the Chumash, the Bal HaTurim is written by the tour. You'd never expect it because the tour was a great lamed and the Bal HaTurim does lots of gematrias. You think it's written by Chassidus Shemeta, but it was written by the tour. Says the tour, Kol HaBasar She'asur La'ochlo b'chalav, all meats that you are not permitted to eat with milk, afilu b'sar chaya va'of, even chicken or chaya meat, which the Gemara entertains the possibility that a chaya is a non-domesticated animal. The Gemara entertains the possibility that b'sar chaya is not biblically prohibited. Because we compare everything to the illustration which the Torah used. Lo tevashel gidi. A little lamb, a little shepsela. That you can't cook in your mother's milk. But a bull, a big wild bull, maybe that's okay. Now, we don't paskin that way. But chicken, we certainly do paskin that way. That on a Torah level, you are allowed to cook chicken and milk. You are allowed to. Chicken is not called meat according to Torah law, only rabbinic law. Nonetheless, asur leha'aloto al hashulchan she'ochel alav gvinot. You are not permitted to put chicken on a table where they are eating cheese. Shelo yavo le'ochlam yachad, so that you will not wind up eating cheese and chicken together, certainly not meat together with cheese. Avol b'shulchan shesuder alav hatavshil. Shesuder alav hatavshil. But if you have a table in which there is a placement of something, tavshil is a cooked item. Mutar litain zeh b'tzad zeh. You're allowed, if you have a pot that cooked something that you neither am I going to eat. But the pot is now going to serve as what? As the hecker, as the divider. Then you can put one next to the other. V'ha she'asur l'ha'alotam al shulchan davka b'shnei adam hamakirin ze et ze. Only if the two people know each other. V'az asur afilu im makpidin ze al ze. The Gemara didn't say anything about that. What happens if you have two people who know each other, but they hate each other. They despise each other. So what will they definitely not do? They will not share. Nonetheless, it is prohibited. It is prohibited. Aval achsinoin she'ein makirin ze'etze. But guests in an inn who do not know one another, mutar, they can eat together at the same table right next to each other. The afilu hamakirin, even those who do recognize, im asu shum heker, if they made any type of divider, kigon shikol echad ochel al mapashelo, each person is eating what? On his handkerchief, on his tablecloth. O afilu ochlin al mapachat, even if you're serving meat and dairy on the same tablecloth. Vinosnin beinehen pat lehekera, They put together, put down bread as what? As a heker? Muta. Ah, that's why many are going to say bread is not good. Because bread could be what? Could be shared. We will see that. Yes. V'yesh omrim, and others say, she'im yesh lohem hotza'a achat, she'ein lohem heter al yidei heker she'osin b'nehen. That if they have, if it comes from what? From one possible source, then a heker is not enough. Like this, the shared estate. If it comes from the same shared estate where there is no hesitancy upon anybody to what? To go into the other guy's plate. Or, so you have two brothers in the house and the mother serves one the other one. Doesn't mean that when the mother puts the plate down in front of one child that that kid owns that food. So under those circumstances, those two brothers should not be what? Eating. When they bring their own respective food to the table, they know that's his, that's mine. But when it comes from the same source, from the same estate, or from the same kitchen, from the same mother who cooked both meals, they say, Mom cooked this, I'm allowed to eat that, you're allowed to eat this. Then a heker is not enough. Because what are they going to do? They are going to share with one another. That's what the Torah says. That's what the Torah says.
Okay.
Yes.
Do these halachot go also for kosher and treif? If you're eating at work and somebody who's eating treif, it'd be the same thing as long as you're eating the same table, as long as you're on a separate.
Yeah, 100%. Yes, if you're in a cafeteria, you can eat the same thing as long as you have something there. But see, if you know that the person's eating treif, I don't think that the halach. I have to check. If it's necessary to have a heker, because the chances that you're going
to
ask him, nobody ever does that. See, when you're dealing with kosher meat and kosher cheese, there's some temptation to say, oh, well, can I just have a piece of what you're eating? But I don't think people eat with, you know, people who you work with, even though you technically know each other, you're not going to, does anybody share lunches? No, I don't think so. So you may not need a heker. You might. You may not. Certainly a heker will work. But you may not need it because it's not the case that there's something to worry about. We don't normally share with a co-worker our lunches. Do any of the co-workers amongst themselves share? Probably not.
Minimally.
I don't think. You know, I don't know. Yes?
How about separate trays? Is that enough of a heker?
A separate tray? Yeah. Yes. Yes. That would be good. Yes. Yeah. So turn now to page 4. Now, take a look at. Okay, so in the first paragraph, which I'm not going to read now, I'm going to read the second paragraph, where it says, Umbatsasi lehamareinu harav rabbeinu shlomo luria. See that second paragraph? Good. So in the first paragraph, he said, just as we said, that if you the two people are eating b'tfisa achas, two brothers eating at home, or two brothers who inherit the estate, a heker does not work. I found that this Rav Shlomo Luria, he's called the Marshal, Moreno Harav Shlomo Luria, the Marshal, the Biuro Atur, in his commentary on the Torah. I never saw the Marshal's commentary on the Torah. We have the Marshal's commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, but I never saw the Marshal's commentary on the Torah. And indeed, Bar Ilan doesn't have it either. Shekosa, but there must have been one, this has been lost. Nirali Harchaka Tzarech. You know what you can do in order to overcome? Just separate. If one eats at one end of the table, and the other one eats at what? The other end of the table, then there's no problem whatsoever. Even if they're eating from the same mom's food, even if they're eating from the same estate, that works. Svira lo the harav, so the marshal holds, the leman de machmir ki yesh omrim, afal pi de ein heter beheker lechem okankan, that even though a heker of bread or a utensil will not work, avol beharchaka, what is the amount of distance that you require? Not the exaggerated example that I gave you. Bichdei shelo yifshot yado le'echol im chaveray. Exactly. All you have to do is be arm's length. If you're an arm's length, we don't expect you to get out of your seat and to grab something from the other guy's table. If they're sitting next to each other, he'll just pick himself up. He'll just take his hand and take something. We all do that. So that's according to the Marshal, that will Vadai Shori Ledivre Hakol. Vikosa Bahagois Ashrei Delechem Loheveheker. The Hagois Ashrei, also one of the Rishonim, say bread is not a heker. Why is bread not a heker? Just like you said, because it typically could be eaten with cheese and with raw speed. Ela kigon she'ein ochlin mizeh halechem sheyesh lahem lechem acher. If each one has their own source of rolls, and then you put down a fresh pack of bread, you know, or a bag of more rolls, then you don't have to assume that they're going to share this common bag. But under ordinary circumstances, anything that is typically used by both parties cannot serve as a heker. V'chein kankan, the same thing with a pitcher. Lo ever hefsek, elo kishein shosin mimenu. If you don't use this pitcher to drink from, but if you use this utensil that's in the middle for both parties, you can't. Avo b'shosin mimenu, lo heve heker chlau. But when we drink from it, if you use this for any reason whatsoever, under those circumstances, you cannot use this as a heker, and it stands to reason. Udalo kibes Yosef ba'orachayim, and this is not like the source we just read, that what? That bread serves as a heker. So the Marshal, who's a generation later, disagrees with a generation earlier, the author of the Torah, and who said that lechem is okay. Said the Marshal, absolutely not. That if the item can be used or is typically used by either, but by both parties, the one eating meat and the dairy, that is not considered an adequate separation under those circumstances. That's what the Bach says. That's what the Bach says. Yes.
Can you place the Bach cheese in geography and time?
Yes. The Bach is a little later in the 17th century, 1600s. So he's a little later than the Beis Yosef, and a little later, and he's a little earlier than the Marshal. He is.
Where did he live?
Not sure. I don't remember where he lived. So now go to page 5 and let's see the final halacha, the Shulchan Aruch. This is what we really like. What's the bottom line? Says the Mechaber, Hada asur leha'aloto al shulchan, that which we prohibit, putting meat and milk on the same table, dafka b'shnei adam hamakirim zeh et zeh. Afilu heim makpidin zeh al zeh. Even if they hate each other's guts, as long as they know each other, you're not allowed to do it. Tell me why.
They might share.
No, they hate each other.
No.
Give me a much more positive reason. A much more logical reason. So tell me what's going to happen.
Someone
will see, hey, these two guys know each other. He doesn't know that they hate each other's guts. He knows they're next door neighbors. And they're sitting at the same table eating what? Meat and milk. So I'll sit down next to my friend and eat meat and milk too. They're afraid that you will not know the personal extenuating circumstances which would guarantee that they will not. It's like a Marisayan question, yes. And therefore the Mechava ruled you cannot do so. Abul Achsanoim, strangers in an inn, She'ein Makirin Ze Etzeh Mutter. Va'afilu Hamakirim, even those who do know, im asu shum heker, if they played any divider, anything to recognize, kigom shekol echad ochel al mapah shelo, each one is eating on their own little napkin, o afilu ochel al mapah achas v'nosnin b'neim pas leheker. The Mechaber Paskins like the tour. That pas, a loaf of bread, is fine. He doesn't say, hey, it's only the bread that they're not going to eat from. He didn't say that. And the Ramah says, Hagah, no. The Dafka Shein Ochlin mina pas hamunach leheker. If they are going to be sharing this bread, then this is not much of a heker. It's only if they have their own source of supply of bread, and then somebody puts down another pound of bread in the middle, where you know for a fact they are not going to use this common bread as anything but a divider. The belav hachi hapasha ochlin mimenu munach al shulchan. Besides this loaf that you put down, there is other bread for each of them to eat. Avalim nosnin beinehem kli shishosin mimenu. But if they put down a pitcher from which they both would drink, ubelav hachi ein darko lios al shulchan. If that pitcher is not typically something that you want put on any table, then heve heker afal pi shishosin minakli. Even though you do drink, but you don't put it on, you drink where? When you take something out of a refrigerator, but you don't put that on the table. The choshkein im nasnu sham menorah, if you put down a candelabra, o sha'ar dvalim shal shulchan, anything else, to heve heker. Then he adds something else that we have not yet discussed. Can the two people share a Diet Coke? The one who's eating a roast beef sandwich, the other one's having a grilled cheese sandwich, can they share a Diet Coke? Says the Ramah, v'yu zihirim shelo lishtos mikli echad. They should not drink from the same can. Why? Mishum shahama'achal nidbak bikli. Because, you know, you might have a little remnant of meat that gets stuck in the thing. So the Mechaber didn't say anything like that. The Ramah adds that as a consideration. And certainly the koshkein shelo yochlu mipas achas, shouldn't eat from the same loaf. Tell me, under what circumstances would you say the Ramah is
biting out of the same
loaf? Ah, right. It's talking about biting. But do we ever take out a bite out of a loaf of bread?
If you're eating the food with your hands and then you're ripping the bread.
Okay. But usually, how do we take a piece of bread? We cut it with a knife. So if there is a knife on the table to cut the bread, under those circumstances, many later achrayim say that's okay to share the bread as well, because we don't take a bite out of it. If you take it with your hands, even that's like having a knife. As long as you don't take a bite out of the bread, which would now potentially place a piece of meat or cheese on the bread, the next guy who takes a bite out of it is eating basar b'chalav.
Still seems like a bad idea, because once you're sharing the bread, you're kind of joining your meals, and you might make a mistake.
Okay, I hear. Says the Ramah, v'chein noagin liyachei kli shel melach l'chol echad b'fnei atzmo. Separate salt shakers. Ki lefamim tovlim b'melach v'nishar shiyurei ma'achal b'melach. Sometimes what people do is they take the salt shaker, and what do? They turn it over and they dip their food into it. So if that's what they did, that they dip their food in, so the guy who dipped in the meat will have a little meat in the salt, and then the next guy, right, that's correct. That's why there are some Paiskim will say you can't have one bottle of ketchup for milchiks and fleishiks, even though it's a heck of a chumrah, because that would mean that you're putting the ketchup touching what on the meat itself. People don't generally do that. They squeeze it out of the thing. It goes onto the meat. You don't dip it onto you. What? I know, but even you have the Heinz old-fashioned bottles, you don't generally touch it. That's this particular sugya. All right, stop here. We'll continue next to Bach.
But the salt had something else.